far.
Goalie. Resentments are the number one offender for people that struggle with alcohol and drugs.
What?
Resentments are the number one offender for people that felt that was interesting because it's really the same thing you're talking about. Any odd against anyone and that kind of stuff. Because they say that that's the number one reason people go back to that.
Who's they?
Me and other people.
Your resentments or resentments against you?
Yeah, just they said it's the number one offender.
Resentments against you?
You can be toward yourself, you can be toward anything.
No.
Deuteronomy 18.
It's resentment. Just resent anything.
Yeah. Well, I resent that.
Go have a drink.
See, you don't have that problem.
You understand that the goal or the essence of this book, the essence of the Bible, is that we would live by faith alone. And again, we have to get rid of this idea that living by faith means that that's how you get something. You understand what?
Yeah.
So, this section in Deuteronomy, which is the whole essence of what it takes to live by faith alone. That means, faith means waiting. It never means anything. It doesn't mean how to get something. It literally means waiting on Him alone, going to no other source. As we learned in Romans, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So there's a description here, and we've started it, of what is not faith, or is no faith. And that's what we're going to... Chapter 18, Deuteronomy, verse 9. When thou art come in unto the land, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. So the only question is, do you believe that you have come into the land, or is there something else that you have to do? And so this is the predicate for everything we're about to look at. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through fire. And we've spent a lot of time on that. Or that useth divination. And we found out that divination means to be prudent. In other words, you're careful for something. And we spent a lot of time on what prudence means. It means that you make your calculations based on observable things. Or that useth divination, or is an observer, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. And it goes on, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. So where we are now is enchanter. And that's the Hebrew word nakash. And to be an enchanter means one who has learned by experience. Now, this will blow your mind if you can understand what this one is.
The ancient Hebrew word for salesman.
One who has learned by experience. Now, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Go to Genesis 30. And this is where I've talked about so much before, that as a believer, you can never have a point of reference to any past experience, because each moment is new, and each moment responds only to eternity. So if there is a reference for the next step based on your past experience, then something you're not living by faith. Can you got that? So let's look at Genesis 30. And this is interesting because this is when Laban, I don't know if you remember, but let's start in verse 25. And it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph that Jacob said unto Laban, send me away that I may go into mine own place, into mine own country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go, for thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. Now that sounds very innocent, except that word, learn by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake, is the word that's translated enchanter. It's nakash. So even if I have learned by experience that X is going to happen, if I do this, he's trying to cause Jacob to wait to stay there with him because he's learned by experience that God blessed those that helped Jacob. You can't do it. Now, if you think about this, this will destroy all your points of reference in how you live your life. So now we've dealt with what? We've well dealt with being prudent. Well, we've dealt with what it means to pass a child through fire. We've dealt with what it means to be a divination means prudent. We missed one. An observer of times. To be an observer of times, it doesn't mean what we think it means. It means to act covertly. In other words, let's look at a couple of them. Let's go to 2 Kings 21. Let me stop a minute. Do you all understand that if this is heard properly, it'll destroy your way of thinking?
Yeah, I mean it's taking away. It's making illegal the tools of thinking.
Right.
The words of thinking.
Or what's commonly thought of as wisdom.
Oh yeah. But it's taking away so that you can have no other option but faith. And so, properly understood, this should only produce one thing, the fear of God. But you can dismiss it because you're saying, well, that's just Ollie's idea or something, isn't it?
There must be another word for experience, too. Is that correct? I mean, this one you say is nakash or something.
Yeah, nakash, and that's the enchanter.
That's the enchanter. What about, like, in the New Testament talks about patience that produces experience or whatever it is? Is that a different experience?
What? Yeah, I mean, you're not making a point of reference for anything. Patience is tested integrity.
You're not saying that God comes around the corner at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and gives you an ice cream cone. You're saying that God delivers. God is always there. God provides.
Right.
We have no idea how, when, where, or what.
In order for us to truly understand this, we have to go back to Isaiah 53.
It's one we just read before we move on. It's one we just read. What it struck in me was it's almost like Laban is forswearing God. He's saying God has to, this is what he did so far, so I know that he has to do it again.
Right.
And it's trying to forswear God, and you can't.
But it's forswearing God for his benefit.
Right. Yeah, it's not saying God will provide. It's saying God will do this.
God will bless me because you've been hanging around here or something like that. I mean, it has nothing to do.
It's making a principle out of the deity.
Well, it has a point of reference, and faith can refer to nothing in the past. Faith, but that's all we do. That's all our mind does is refer to something in the past. That's all our mind does is learn prudence. That's all our mind does. That's all we're capable of doing. And so how then do we, how does this man live? You live by casting down every single imagination and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every single thought. Now, this is not difficult. It's compared to what you had to learn in order to do all this stuff that they're now saying don't do. Faith is as simple as breathing.
Is this the opposite of name and claim it?
It's way off. It's so far opposite it isn't even in the same universe.
Each of these things is in a way, it's the same as building the tower. It's an attempt to rise above.
Well, it's really an attempt to control God.
Yeah.
It's an attempt to put God in a box.
Same cause and effect.
It's cause and effect. Yeah.
To be greater than God.
It's so hard to talk about this because, again, as you've heard me say so often, it's like asking a fish to describe water, because that's all. How can you? And so this is what these things that are saying now you can't do anymore are the things that have made you you.
Isn't this part of what we talked about? It's proven at the molecular level where you get down to the nuts and bolts of things and it's chaos. You can't with a microscope even.
Yeah, when you take every form of thought that I'm aware of, whether it's chemistry or high energy physics or cosmology or mathematics or anything, and you
cosmetology.
Yeah, not cosmetology. You take it to the limit, and what science has found today is chaos instead of an ordered universe. Who is it that's studying chaos theory? Somebody.
Becca
went to
work for that.
Yeah. But because science now today has been able to take and expand the limits to almost to the edge of time and space itself, where in the past years it was always we had these nice little boundaries for which we could control and we could speak and we could understand and we could manipulate. And so, you know, again, as I said before, that zero wasn't invented until about 1200 A.D. So we can't even today conceive of what it means not to have zero as a predicate of our thought process. But in spirit, there can't be zero. And so all that we've done, it got, even with all the advancement of science and all of going into space and now down to the bottom of the ocean, God, through using of man, through man's own curiosity, if you will, he's pushing the barriers all the way to the edge. That's what the scriptures are many times say, expand the pegs of your tent. Expand the bounds of your habitation so that there is no place that you have left as an if only or what if or anything. This is so hard to talk about because it's like it takes away anything. It's this thing that Harry wants. I mean, suppose that everything that you've ever heard, everything you've ever learned was wrong. Well, it is wrong from God's standpoint because we have all these devices, all these methodologies, all these ways of thinking, all these defense mechanisms that we have created to exist. And now God is calling us to come to a point where there's only faith.
I was laughing when you said that it's so hard to find words to talk about this. I can't capture this thought and package it with words. I mean, it's perfect that it can't be packaged, categorized, summed up in words because it's not that type of thing.
Let's look at the ultimate a minute.
Before we go, you said a couple of things in the last couple of minutes. You said you talked about all the massive energy and work it's taken to learn to do these things as opposed to faith, which is rest. Faith is the cessation of all that work. It's just be. And you also said these activities, these are the things that have made you you. And when you said that, a light went on in my head. It's like, here, there's the solution to the problem of you, me. If this is what made me, then the destruction of this, the spitting out of this, the neglecting of this is the key to there being less of me.
Yeah, let's look at two. We're going to have to spend more time in the second thing, but let's go to Job 42 real quick. I'm going to look at two scriptures, and then we're going to go back to the line upon line, precept upon precept.
Breaking it down to be an interest.
Why?
So you break it down to almost be like Christ said about the babe.
Yeah, infant. The infant means before self-awareness.
Yeah.
Job 42.
Before you learned all this crap.
Job is right before Psalms. So go to the middle of your Bible and go to... And love all our Bible scholars here. Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. So this is, you know, once you come into the mystery by whatever means, you've heard of him by the hearing of the ear, but now your eye sees. And you can't, and there's only one thing once your eye sees him, that you repent in dust and ashes. That doesn't mean you put ashes and dust on you. You see that the best you can be is dust and ashes. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Now if the best you can be is dust and ashes, then all these tricks that you have learned to do are meaningless. Now let's look at one other that takes it to the limit. Revelation 10. That's at the end of the book.
Which is? That big Revelation?
Yeah.
Big Revelation.
Mm-hmm. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared unto his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take this little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, Thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now what is all that saying? There's some things that can't be spoken that John heard. But he heard and he saw this one thing. He said, essentially, the seventh angel stood and said, when the mystery of God was completed, time shall be no longer. Now we can't even imagine. There are no words to describe life without time. That is why the gift of God to you and I is eternal life. And life in that moment of eternity is the only way that you can understand the words that are spoken by the seven thunders, if you will. There's no way, there's nothing that can exist if time is no longer. That's taking everything to the end. Remember we said before that the Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And Jesus is saying the same thing here. Of sin, because they believe not on me. There's not 100% reliance on him without referring to anything else. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged, and therefore nothing else in the middle can be, or in the less than that, means anything. And of righteousness, because I go to the Father. So that statement extends, it says what I'm talking about. It extends everything to the edge of time and space itself. And now the final coda, if you will, is now the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no longer. Now, it has to be seen in each individual. It has to be seen that the mystery of God is completed. Time shall be no longer. Now, we don't know why. I don't know why, but some of us must be still alive when the end comes. And I that's a mystery that's way too far for me. I mean, too high for me. I don't know why, it's just, you know, whenever he... I happen to believe, and I'm getting old, I happen to believe that the time when the seventh angel will stand will be in my lifetime. But that's just me.
What's the scroll? Is that the Bible?
The little book, the little scroll? No, that's the that's the book of life. Remember, there's the three books that are opened in Yom Kippur, the book of life, the book of death, and the book of everybody in between. And again, it's sweet to the taste, but it's everything else up until this point, you know, is your belly. The curse says, upon your belly, by your belly you shall be led, and the dust shall be your food. Well, that's all that you've done your whole life. You're the dust. That's because that's all we can conceive of. What you understand about what gives you sustenance and satisfaction? That's your food. What gives you worth? That's your drink. And so here we have the final coming together where the only worth is this, the only sustenance and satisfaction is the flesh of the Son, and the only worth is the blood. But, and so everything that used to give you sustenance and satisfaction has now turned into crap. And so what does it say? What does it say about it? It's to your belly. It's
bitter
to your belly. You don't, it doesn't, it's not attractive anymore. So all the stuff that used to give you satisfaction and sustenance, wealth, acclaim, education, performance, accomplishments, all those things have become, they're finally, by experience, they become bitter. They've seen as nothing. I'm sorry I'm rambling, but I think I have a fever. Anybody have any response to any of this? It's finished. Your warfare is over. By one offering, you've been perfected forever. Just rest. Amen? Take it big, guy.